Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We're back. Another Tuesday edition of the WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike and Spike and Fritz. Ike, it's the Rams. How we feeling?
Brother Spike, well, I'll tell you what, feeling pretty good, Won't be an easy one Sunday, but I feel pretty good as I look right across from me. Fritzy Baseball is back behind the glass.
Oh, there he is.
How about that?
It's good to be home.
How is your boy, Fritzy?
Oh, I got my drop board back. I know that was underutilized last week, usual.
Well, we don't want the music in the wrong spots.
Well,
you enjoy not hearing a bunch of drops. Are you kidding me? Oh, no.
In the middle of the field.
Damn.
I was going to say.
They're really starting to go after Ike Reese now.
Last week.
Yeah. You got a budget with a fire off in there?
Ooh, that boy almost got a 10-incher.
Yeah, wonder why. You left the hook for a week.
Yeah. you just stinking it up in there in your little tiny room?
Right.
Yeah, nah, no Brussels home? Today. No Brussels today. Okay. But, yeah, no, I missed Najee Davenport week last week, so I had to get back on behind the board. I'm ready to go. Fired up.
All right. Here we go. Well, big show as always on a Tuesday. Tuesdays with Elliot. We always fight with him about something that comes up at 3 o'clock. Then Jordan Mailata joins us at 4, and the return of the normal top 5 at 5 happens at 5 o'clock today. And there's just like a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff. So I've been feeling this. I've mentioned it a bunch of times. We start with the Sixers, obviously. And no, I'm just kidding. I've been feeling this, you know, for, I would say, a couple of months, but it was highlighted, and I think it hit its most extreme point on Sunday, which is the Eagles shift from being what is perceived as an aggressive team to being sort of a conservative team, specifically on offense. And I understand, though I don't particularly agree, I understand why everyone got frustrated with how aggressive Sirianni was getting. I think it came to a head. We had a little bit of it at the Atlanta game, then it came to a head, I think, in the Jacksonville game, and everybody was just like, enough of this. Take the points. And then we have the game on Sunday, and we win it, 22-10, and a great defensive performance. But it all came together in one game for me, and I think it's going to cost them. So the first thing is how they have Hurts playing, which I think is costing them points overall, in that I feel like they have pushed him into an ultra-conservative way of playing. If you're not sure about it, don't throw it. If you're not sure about it, you don't throw it. If you're not sure about it, don't throw it. You know, I'm watching Stafford last night, and that guy will just sling it sometimes. And I think how they have Jalen playing is probably a little over-conservative. But then on Sunday, it's 4th and 4 inside the Packers 40. And we punt the ball. And then how many times did we have 3rd and long, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 7, and we just run the ball? We essentially we're not punting, but we're punting on that series of downs unless we get lucky with Saquon. And I think there's going to be a game where it's the fourth quarter and the Eagles are up 4 or they're up 6, where they should have been up 13 or 17. And we're going to put ourselves in a position where one drive can beat us in a game that we have outplayed the other team. And I know the final score looked pretty, you know, pretty significant on Sunday, 22-10.
Could have easily been 29-10.
Could have, but it also was a big play away from being, you know, 17-16 Packers, you know? And I felt like after four turnovers, the defensive performance we had, like we had an opportunity to put our foot on their throat. And I just sort of want, I don't want to be Dan Campbell, but I think we need to regain some of that aggressiveness, some of that risk-taking. I think we're a little too risk-averse. And when you're getting into teams like we're going to play now, the Rams, and then probably the Detroit Lions, and then whoever, if we're lucky enough to play in the Super Bowl, I think we're going to need those points. And I think this ultra-conservative version of the Eagles needs to go away.
But this is what has gotten us here. This is what has gotten us here. And listen, from a long view, I understand what you're saying. I don't hear what you're saying and take it as, oh, it's another criticism of this or trying to drum up that and be negative. I don't view it as that. I view it as a legitimate concern from your viewpoint. It's just that I'm not as concerned because my confidence level in this defense and this running game and the ability to come up with those handful or so plays in the passing game that will be the difference in the game. If we were sort of less of a team in some of those other areas, then I think there's a legitimate cause to be concerned about us moving forward because you would say, you know what, this is going to call for our quarterback or our passing game to do more. We're going to need more out of our passing game. We're going to need explosive plays. And if they were clicking, if they were operating with precision, I would be okay if you wanted to deviate from what is the strength of your team, which is running the football. But because the passing game is not operating like that, it's operating effectively enough that it hasn't hurt us. I'm okay with sticking with that formula because the formula, Spike, that has gotten us to where we are hasn't been about our passing game. In any other year, I think you can make an argument or this and that, but for the 2024 Eagles and who they are, this team is about the running game, Saquon and that offensive line, and that defense. And the passing game is a complement to every other facet of this team. The passing game is a complement to our running game. Our running game is our best facet of our offense. Saquon is our best player on offense right now. No disrespect to Jalen, no disrespect to AJ, who 3 months ago I would have said AJ is the best player on the offense. Quite frankly, the best player on the team. Doesn't mean he's still not a great player on this team. Just means for the 2024 Eagles, number 26 is the guy. It's the guy. So we start with him, and we play great defense. And we got a defensive coordinator that takes calculated risk. He knows where his strengths are and where his areas are where he can be exposed at, and he stays away from those things. And that's why this defense has far exceeded anyone's expectations this year and are playing as a unit the way that they are. When that's what the identity of your team is, and every year each team has its own identity, maybe the same organization, doesn't mean that's the same identity that team has. This team, the identity is the running game, which is O-line, Saquon, and that defense, man. And as long as we're doing that, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay for the most part.
Two quick things on that.
Okay.
First of all, I think we can still be defined by all those things and still be an aggressive football team. I think we can. But the two specific things that I would point to in what you said is the trust in the defense to me, where somebody's like, you can look at it and say, I trust my defense. That's why I'm going to punt the ball back. I know I'm going to get it back anyway. I'm saying the reason I trust my defense is that fourth and four on their 39, if I don't get it, I know it's probably not going to cost me seven. Right. And that's why I'm going to go for it, because I trust that the defense, I'm not going to put them in that position.
That is the other way of looking
right?
at it, yes.
You know what I mean? And it's two sides of the same coin. You can look at it, it's really just how you look at the play, because we're both saying the same thing. We're both saying we trust our defense. My thing is, I'm looking at opportunities to put this game away and put distance between us and that other team. And then we can turn into the team that drains the life out of the game with a 9-minute drive. You know what I mean? And then the second thing is, and we'll probably never know the answer to this, is I do think there is something to the ultra-conservative way we're calling the game that maybe has ultimately hurt the pass game and prevented us from getting in a rhythm. So you mentioned, like, the pass game isn't clicking. And I agree, it's not. Like, I've complained about it over and over and over again. But when you don't do it, like, can you even get that rolling if you're telling the quarterback, don't throw it away. If you don't see anything, run with it. Can you even get there if you're so risk averse that you're not throwing to your superstar players?
Yeah.
And that is, I understand everything you're saying. I really understand both sides of this.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that I'm looking at it is, this team is talented enough to put teams away early and not have us in a position at the end of the third quarter where we look like, you know, they've turned the ball over four times, we've dominated the entire game, and wait a minute, we're up 6 points? Wait a minute, how'd that happen? You know? And I worry against a team like the Rams or a team like the Lions that could back up, you know, bite us.
Bite you. Yeah. I get that. I think you can do it as long as everybody buys in. And what it feels like, and you got to start with the quarterback buying in. Because most quarterbacks want to throw the ball. I mean, that's what they want to do. They go out there and sling it around the field and that sort of thing. So you need to have the most important guy, who is the quarterback and will always be the quarterback. He's the most important guy. He has to have a buy-in to it. Because if he buys into it, Spike, you know what happens? He's not out there playing hero football.
Trying to prove something.
Trying to prove that this is what I can do. I can do this. I can put the team on my back. I can make this throw. When you start to do that stuff, you start to make unnecessary throws and unnecessary risk, and you put your team behind the eight ball. So as long as the QB is buying into that, everybody else eventually has to buy in it. And I know the receivers, at times, they may get frustrated with it. And for the most part, I give these guys a lot of credit this year for buying into it. It couldn't have been easy for AJ, Devontae, and even Dallas when he was healthy to buy into this heavy of a run game. And we saw that little frustration mole head peek itself out every once in a while.
Sure.
It peeked itself out every once in a while. Nothing that was disruptive, but to let it be known that, hey, well, I'm over here too. Like, I want to be a part of this thing too. And I get that. And you had to address that. But listen, this is do or die time now. This is, you don't go to the dance and just because you see somebody that might look a little more attractive across the floor and start thinking about things that you shouldn't be thinking about. You go to the dance with the person that you came with, and that's who you dance with. That's what you dance with. This is how we chose to roll this year. This is how we're coming in here. I'm all about you tonight, baby. I'm all about you. I don't care what she got on over there. I don't care what they look like over there. It's all about you.
215-592-9494.
Are we getting a throwback, Ike? I mean, the reminiscing Ike?
I did have a little bit of a flashback right there. I got to admit. Can't lie.
Yeah, it felt like you were you saw
I was at the
where
prom.
You were.
I was at the prom.
Yep.
Yep. And I was at homecoming with two dates that I had no real connection with. They weren't my girlfriends. Like, I went to homecoming with a girl who was not my girlfriend. And we just went together as a court. Like, she was she was running for queen. I was running for king. I was the most popular guy in the school. And she felt that was an easy ride to the championship. And it turned out to be true.
Yeah, she was riding your coattails.
She was riding the coattail.
Yeah, well, that's what means Spike, too.
Listen, she was very good looking. Don't get me wrong. I was happy to have her on my arm. She just wasn't my girlfriend. She actually had a boyfriend. And pretty much the same thing for prom.
Oh, really?
I went to prom with somebody who was not my girlfriend. My girlfriend was at another school.
Right.
Yeah, we need to go.
This guy's what a big dog, man.
Yep.
What a big dog.
Girl in every school.
Yeah,
no,
man.
No,
girl
no.
In different area codes,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
High school, what a player.
215-610-484.
That's why I was a dad, too, at that time.
Yeah.
I became a dad, so.
All right.
It's called a big dose of D.
I wasn't that smart.
215-592-9494. Have the Eagles gotten a little too conservative? We started off with our leadoff hitter, Corey in Columbus. Corey, you're on WIP.
Hey, man, Ike, my man, Ike, an Ohio legend, boy. Hey, man, hey. One night where I
read, man. Yeah. I'm just saying, man. Listen, my wife listens to the show now, so yes, now.
Hey,
yes. Ike's cutting this off right now.
Yes, before school is out, where she's at, yeah. She gets in the car.
All right, I want to address the topic today. I also want to put something that happened yesterday at the end. So,
okay,
my thing is, are the Eagles being too conservative? Like one thing. And, like, this is a radio show, so I know we got to do topics. And, like, I'm, like, kind of with Ike. Like, I'm not like, oh, why we always got to bring this up? Why we got to start narratives? Like, it's a radio show. We got to have topics to talk about, and we address the topic. See, my thing is the way we run our team, I look at it as, like, we play the game that we're in. So it's like I feel like if Nick Sirianni is in a situation like you just said, oh, I don't feel like that's going to work versus the Rams or the Lions. Like, if that's not going to work, we're not going to do it versus them. But, like, I feel like Nick Sirianni has gotten to a point where it's like our defense, like, we in Philadelphia for the past 15 years, we ain't had a defense that we could trust like this. Like,
no.
We trust these boys. Like, if you put them on the field, we trust them more than we trust the offense. Like, I'm not going to say, like, they
kind of. Yeah.
Kind of.
Not Legion of Boom level.
Yeah.
It's not Legion of Boom level, but this team kind of reminds me. I think somebody said that yesterday. It reminds me of the Legion of Boom. Like, Russell Wilson wasn't really no big, and, like, they didn't have the wide receivers that we had on the Legion of Boom. But he really wasn't no 300, 400-yard a game guy. You know, he threw for 202,
sure.
220,
yeah.
And handed the ball off to Marshawn Lynch. And you let the Legion of Boom, you know, we hold dudes to 15 and under. Y'all give us 17 to 20, 22, we win the game. And I feel like that's kind of the mantra we are with Vic Fangio. But, like, I also feel like if we get into a scenario like last night with the Rams, if they start shooting out, we got the boys that can say, okay, you want to get into a shootout, we can do it. I feel like Jalen Hurts is playing this year because of how last year went, how the beginning of this year started. They've coached him to say, Jalen, if it's not there, if you don't trust it, we'd rather you take a sack and we punt the ball and put our defense on the field than for you to force something or do something that you don't feel comfortable with doing. And I'm okay with him doing that. Now, like I said, if it costs us a game and we lose a game, we'll address that situation when it happens. But as of right now, what? I mean, we win in this way. Corey,
if it costs us a game now, there's no fixing. You know, just real quick, this is bigger than I know I led off talking about Jalen specifically, but to me it's bigger than that. It is about, hey, it's 4th and 4 on their 39. Like we have a big strong offensive
Nick Sirianni
line.
Is not.
Yeah, like to me it's Nick more than it is Jalen. It is like and I understand why, and you're right, we have won these games this way. But I think to your point where we play the game we're in, I understand, but I think there is an ethos to where we want to sort of determine the game and we want to be the team that says this game is out of reach. And I think we keep games in reach too many times because we're as conservative as we are. And it does put, and look, the defense has been great and maybe they carry us all the way, but man, the amount of pressure that it puts on the defense to almost be perfect. You know, the offense really only has to succeed 3 or 4 times a game, but the defense has to almost be perfect every time.
It's not the offense making the defense's job easier. It's the defense that is helping the offense out right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But if you think of, like, and I know this was a different scenario when we played the Rams earlier in the year, mm-hmm. right? Jalen Hurts had like 15 completions, like 10 of them went to A.J. Brown for like 109 yards. And then Saquon ran for 255. You don't think Sean McVay was going to go into that game plan saying, oh, we're going to split this, but we got Puka, we got Cooper Kupp, we got Kyon Williams. And what did Sirianni do? He said, okay, come on, because I got these dogs on defense. I know they're going to hold me down, and then we got this boy in the backfield, and he'll go for 255 on you. Now go ahead and stack the box if you want to. Because the quarterback, people don't like him. If you give him man-to-man on the outside, the stats say he's the best in the league. So what I'm saying is we play the game we in. So go ahead and stack the box and play man-to-man on the outside and see what he do to you. Oh, y'all want to drop out and play coverage? I got this bull in the backfield that give you 255. So like I said, we'll see what happened on Sunday. But real quick to adjust what happened yesterday with the quarterback situation, I'm going to make it quick because I know I've been on the call for a minute.
Yeah. Too long, some say.
Yesterday, hey, don't
Jack's back. Jack's back.
Buzz back now. We'll make us bring Buzz back. Look, when we was talking about, like, people always say, oh, like, you were talking about Jalen defenders and people always coming to Jalen's defense. I think it really is because, like, if we sit up here and we say, like, oh, if Josh Allen played in Philly, he'd do this with this team. If Patrick Mahomes. Like, everybody got a wife. We just started the conversation with it. Val, Jill, Renee, everybody. But Renee is good for Ike. That's his wife. Yeah. You know, Val's good for you. That's your wife. Like, in Philadelphia, it's hard to play. Josh Allen played in Wyoming, and then he went to the Bills where they was garbage. If Josh Allen was having them turnovers and stuff in Buffalo like he was doing last year and the year before that, and he got to deal with the afternoon show, killing him all the day. We don't know if Josh Allen's going to show up like that.
That's a good point.
Hey, Lamar Jackson, he quit on his team. He was hurt and said, I'm not playing. I don't want to play.
That would not have fly. That would not fly here.
How would Joe DeCamera deal with that? What we're saying is we got a quarterback that they sit up here and chill, and he ain't going to say nothing. He going to take it, and he's going to go out there and play. And like Joe Burrow, he's throwing for 4,000 yards. He's throwing for 4,000 yards in Philadelphia. I know a guy that threw for 4,000 yards that had no receivers, and they told me that boy was garbage. He made the playoffs. What I'm saying is we just want the guy we had to be celebrated because we win football games with him.
Yeah, but
that's all it is.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. It's just like,
good job, Corey.
Yeah, good job, Corey.
Way to fight for Jordan.
Yeah, brought back Carson Wentz.
I mean, come on.
Yeah,
it's hard not to reminisce about that guy.
It's so easy. It's for some of us, it's so easy not to reminisce about Carson Wentz. Man, we've had some times over the last 15 years with quarterbacks. It is. I give Corey.
He's right about Jalen being able to play here. That every quarterback can play here, man.
I 100% agree. He was absolutely right there. Now we've had. Now maybe it is. I don't know. I'm just thinking about the quarterbacks that were here. You know, Donovan had his issues with everyone here, but he did survive a decade
pretty
successfully as well.
Well, that's why some of us like me will show him the amount of respect he deserves.
Right, because
he's a true franchise quarterback.
Right. There's all different ways to handle how it is here, you know? And I give Corey's right. I give Jalen credit for not overreacting to it, not lashing out. And there are other players on the team who have.
Oh, yeah.
It's not in his personality. And I think his ability to tune those things out, for whatever reason that he's able to do it, is good and is successful. And I it's hard doing this every day for him, you know, to go through that. I 100% agree.
And that's why when we did our athletes ranking, I think I had... I had Bryce as number one. I had Jalen as number two.
Right. Yep.
But one of the reasons why I had Jalen as the number two athlete in town, because he's under the most scrutiny. Now, I'll give Bryce a lot of credit as well for being able to handle it, but his sport, to no fault of his own, it intertwines with football. So the offseason, when discussing what happened during the season, Bryce never really has to endure.
And nobody's criticizing him.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But part of it is because we moved
straight to football.
Right,
he has that shield for him. Now, he'll get it during the season, right, when things happen.
But there's a game every day, so it goes
away.
Exactly,
goes away. He doesn't get the entire offseason to be ripped like an Embiid does, like Jalen will at the end of the season.
Right. There is something about the setup of football in that they play one game, and then we talk about that one game for seven consecutive days before there's another game.
Yes.
All right. Have the Eagles gotten too conservative? 215-592-9494. Coming up next, Ike, I don't know if you heard it. Shady had a little controversial thing
every
to say.
Week, man.
You know, he's in the building. That's what he says. You know, he knows people in the building. Still connected.
Every week, Shady has something, man.
You know, if he said as many things as he said, I might not let him in the building so much anymore. You know, if I were, I'm just saying, you know. But Shady had a little thing controversial to say about the quarterback, and we will have that for you next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Was there a...
You don't know nothing about Al Green.
That's not true. I heard this on I heard this on Breaker or whatever, and I said the open sounds like a great return song.
Yeah, just that I was wondering if there was a connection to what we were
talking
about.
There's absolutely no connection. Okay. I just been waiting to play it for about 3 weeks.
I was trying to do the thing in my head where, did I say something?
Well, frankly,
love and happiness, brother.
All my old Rizzler stuff, feel like that's, you know, on the back burner.
Yeah, that's out, man. Yeah, that was 2024, man. Yeah,
a bunch of Christmas stuff that was, you know, in the queue. So I got to start working new stuff in, and I think that's a good return song.
Hey, considering our new partner, man, Al Green's a good... Put together.
Oh, right. We'll talk about that later. I was like,
that hammer is real, for real. Right.
Yes, of course. Blue Chew, yes. What is he going to say? And Ike and I are going to have to figure out what to do when they ban TikTok, by the way, because the both of us are going to be in a lot of trouble. Speaking of the Rizzler. Yeah.
Yeah, I am dreading that day.
Yeah,
just come on over to Instagram Reels.
Nah. It's not as good. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Visit the only jeweler with over 2,500 Google 5-star reviews, Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. All right, Ike, here is the Twitter question. Do the Eagles need to get back to being more aggressive with their decisions during the game? Yes or no? What do you think the response is?
No.
What do you think the number is?
I'll go with 68.
How about this? 70.6% say yes. That they need to get back to being more aggressive.
Wow.
With their decisions.
70%. Well, I tell you, we are shook from that game last night. They saw that Rams game.
They're like, oh,
night.
No. Wait a minute. That team might not be. Wait just a minute.
They saw that game last night. They're like, hold up.
Jack, what do you think? Do you think the Eagles have swung too far in the conservative direction?
No, I love what they're doing. You know who we haven't heard being brought up as a problem in a long time? Yep. Nick Sirianni.
That's right.
Like, Nick Sirianni's pretty much been taken off the hot seat because he's starting to coach like a real football coach. You know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing Larry Karras Mount Union football from Nick Sirianni. Conservative, smart, play to your strengths. This is not a shootout team. This is a ball control point guard team.
It's not about being a shootout. By the way, you can control the ball longer if you go for it on fourth down and get it. That there's even more ball control there. More
but there's
time,
also a very good
yards,
chance that you don't get
not
it.
Not very good.
What's not very good?
You don't understand risk. There's not a very good chance we don't get it.
Yeah, sure there is.
You don't go for it if you think there's a very good chance you don't get it. Here's something else. Somebody get Fran in here.
Oh, man. I'm threatening with Fran all week.
Listen, if there's one thing I know.
You know Fran's not
Fran. He is no threat. No threat. Now, Buzz, he's working his way up.
He's working hard. He did a good job.
Fran, no shot.
We will have for you in a moment. LeSean McCoy says something maybe a little controversial about Jalen Hurts. We'll get to that in a moment. First, Noel in Boston. You're on WIP. What's up, Noel?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What up? What up, Nolan?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We got you, brother.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, I first of all, I said it to Jack already, but congrats, Jack. Welcome back. Good to see you, and hope the family's all doing well.
Good to see you, too.
Yeah, I wish I could see you guys. And I wish, to be honest, I wish you would put me on after the shady comments, but because I saw those last night.
Don't ruin it for everyone.
No, I won't. I'm not going to ruin it for everyone. But okay. I will say, I also saw some comments from and some stuff that was put up by Dan Orlovsky, which was really interesting because
we're going to get to that too with Elliot in the 3 o'clock hour. Yeah,
right, we've seen everything
because we saw some stuff from Ryan Fitzpatrick too, buddy. So yeah, like it's coming from all sides. Everyone's doing topics.
Yeah. Right, so anyway, good commentary from both of those folks. So it has to land somewhere in the middle, I guess. But anyway, I'm going to say, look, I'm on the side of Ike. I'm with the if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Now, I was going to call in a few weeks ago because there was a whole conversation. I think it was also kind of geared towards the offense. And not that it was conservative, but it was just geared towards it's not, you know, there's not enough and we can't win this way. And what I was going to say at the time is just like what you were saying, Ike, is but we have. We've won this way all season. And I think the most important thing is, like, and you brought it up yourself, Spike, it's ball control offense. Look, if we can run against anybody, which so far we've demonstrated we have been able to, except maybe against Cleveland, we had some struggles. And there's been points in games where the teams had some struggles. But at the end of the day, if you can run against a football team and they can't stop you, that travels. You can go into any stadium against any team in any weather conditions, and you can control the game and you can control the clock. And if you can do that, then you're going to win more football games than you're going to lose. And if we've gotten this far with that brand of football, and if the Rams don't demonstrate that they can stop it, then there's no reason to put the ball in the air as, you know, 25 to 30 times a game. If you can throw the ball 18 to 22 times a game and you can win football games and control the clock for 32 minutes, you're going to win football games.
Noel, do you know how many times that Jalen Hurts dropped back to pass on Sunday?
I think it was, 18 times?
Well, he threw 21 passes, but that's not how many times he dropped back to pass. He dropped back to pass 30 times on Sunday. So just like when we talk about how conservative they are and how many times they're calling run plays and pass plays, they called 30 pass plays. So and he threw it 21 times, and he got sacked two times, and he threw it away however many times, four or five times, and then he ran it three times on pass plays. So and I want to be clear again, it's not just about passing versus running. And when you want to talk about ball control, and I just said this to Jack, when you are and I understand where you're coming from. I'm not saying that I am the be all end all and this is absolutely right. But if you're going to talk ball control, when it's fourth and four on the Green Bay 39, if you get a fourth down, all of a sudden you control the ball for maybe how many more sets of downs? Two more sets of downs? Three more sets of downs? All of a sudden that's how many more minutes? Five more minutes? You're controlling the ball more and you're potentially scoring more.
I get it. I agree. But I think that goes back to what Corey said. And every game is different. It's situational. So what if you don't get that play?
Well,
you've given Green Bay the ball, and you've given them the ball 25 yards out of field goal range, right? Or possibly giving them a chance to put points on the board, where if you back them up with the way that our defense has been playing, and you guys both said it. You admitted it. We trust the defense more right now than the offense.
But going forward on their 39 is also trusting the defense. And I don't want to belabor this one particular decision, and thank you for the call, Noel, always, this particular decision. But on one of the reasons you go for it in their territory is that chances are if you punt the ball, you might not be backing them up. You might be talking about the difference of...
You might kick it into the end zone.
Yeah, you might be talking about the difference of the 39 or the 20, or the 39 and the 27 if they run it back or something like that. So those, I don't want to go for... I don't want to beat Dan Campbell. My heart can't take that. I don't want to go for it on our own 38,
so,
you know?
So a couple of things. I would imagine field goal, that's a 53-yard field goal.
From the 39 is 56.
56, okay. Yeah. So I thought you said 38.
Yeah, too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but in years past, that hasn't been too far.
Sure, but you're right.
So you're looking at points. So part of what he's doing is saying, my field goal kicker isn't kicking the ball well, plus 50. And I don't remember exactly when this happened during the game. Was that in the stretch where we were throwing incompletions, or was this? I'm wondering what the offense was looking like.
It was pretty early
at that time.
I don't remember. It was pretty early in the game. I don't remember if it was the first quarter or not, but it was pretty early in the game.
Do we already have the 10-0?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I have to go back and look.
Okay. Yeah. I just went because this is what I wanted Nick to do the entire time, which is I don't want you to completely go away from taking a calculated risk. What I didn't want was the unnecessary risk. Sometimes you have to play the long game, and you do that at times based on how the team is playing in the moment. So having a feel for what's going on in the game. That's why I was asking. I can't even remember exactly when it may have taken
place. You're saying like we've just punted two times because we can't complete a pass. Why are we going for a fourth down if we can't complete a pass?
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking. Maybe that was what the situation was.
Okay, so Shady, our buddy Shady, who has reminded us many times, he knows plenty of people at NovaCare. and was this morning or last night?
This is yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday. Yeah. Shady said this.
Yeah, this was their day after the game show, yeah.
Right. Shady said this yesterday.
If them backup quarterbacks for my team, for my Eagles played, we smoked the Packers. Mm. Let me say it again. If the backup quarterbacks, because we're going to talk about rust, them dudes don't even play. Backups don't get no chance to, like, knock their rust off.
Yeah.
Do y'all?
No.
They got to go out there and play. Tanner goes out there and puts up. Come on.
Not Tanner. And I'll pick it. We'll
both of them. I'm going to pick it next because Pickett can run too. Pickett will ball out also.
I mean, if I open up the show saying that, I would be run out of town.
Hold on. First of all.
We just put him in the Ring of Honor or whatever?
Yeah. Well, hold on. Acho and Chase Daniel called a straight there for no reason.
Oh, backup quarterback.
Yeah, when he said, backups don't get a chance to knock the rust off. Do y'all?
Yeah. He did.
They're really starting to go after Ike Reese now.
He did do that. I didn't even notice that when I heard
I
the
caught
first
that.
Time.
Yes, I caught that. Yeah, as a backup, I had to catch that. Right. I caught that. But you're right, though. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, it's all I'm saying is pretty strong. It's a pretty strong statement. You know,
I think that was more emotion than anything.
Yeah.
He probably was frustrated the day after the game. He saw the game yesterday. It wasn't like a lot of people. I mean, the one thing I'll say about you is that, you know, people get frustrated with you because, you know, you're not necessarily waving pom-poms after every game no matter what.
Right.
Right? And so there has to be that voice as well, because that voice speaks to a lot of people who feel the same way. Everybody didn't walk out of that game feeling great about every facet of the game.
Yeah, we won the game. Who cares?
Yeah, everybody didn't walk away feeling that way. So I kind of think Shady, the day after a game, is his initial reaction to what he saw the day before. And he's like, man, we got to be better in the passing game. Man, that's not going to be good enough. And you throw out there, our backup quarterbacks could have went out there and we would have blew the team out. That's emotional field.
Yeah, I'll give Shady this. Shady is an Eagle.
Yeah.
He cheers for the Eagles. He has become an Eagle fan, you know, and I think that's where that's coming from.
Well, people did get on him because he made the mistake, I think. He got caught up in the moment again.
What did he do?
Where he said, I don't know which show it was. He said it something to the effect of he wanted to see the Chiefs three-peat.
Oh, did he?
So people, yeah. And I think it was one of those throwaway things where he wasn't really, he didn't think about the Eagles side of things.
Right. He's just thinking about the greatness of three-peat.
Yeah, just thinking about the Chiefs and seeing the Eagles seeing the Chiefs three-peat. But you know, fans, we don't let that go.
No.
So people did point that out to me that he had said that. But yeah, I'm with you. Shady he's an Eagle. And if you check his social media now, there's a different.
Yeah, yeah, he's
response
back.
Response to.
Oh, really?
Yes, there's already a different response.
Because Jerry tweeted today, one thing about my quarterback.
No.
My quarterback. Yeah. He always bounces back after a bad performance. My Birds will be in the Super Bowl. Why?
Shady, don't you think that Jalen will bounce back?
He just wins.
We don't know if Tanner McKee could bounce back, Shady.
But you got his. His true feeling the day after.
Well, yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, you got his true feeling the day after.
He wasn't lying. You know, he said what he thought.
Yes, yes. He just didn't sugarcoat it.
215-592-9494. Hey, Jack. Imagine, you know, you got to buy the fridge or grill or
especially in this time, Spike.
Yes.
It's cold out.
Yeah.
You know, you got to make sure you stay inside and make sure your appliances are ready to go. And that's where National Appliance Warehouse comes.
Hey, Price Assure.
That's always Price Assure. And the great news, Spike, on top of Price Assure, they always have great savings events going on. Right now, the Friends and Family Savings event is back at National Appliance Warehouse due to popular demand. They're always using their incredible buying power to pass those savings on to you. You will always get the best price at National Appliance Warehouse. That's guaranteed by Price Assure, a piece of technology specific for National Appliance Warehouse that instantly updates price tags all throughout the store if it finds a lower price elsewhere. But what else sets National Appliance Warehouse apart is a truly great family-like atmosphere. Take it from me, get down to National Appliance Warehouse and experience it for yourself. Over 100 brands from sub-zero to budget, you will find the perfect appliance for you. Go to nationalappliancewarehouse.com or visit their showroom in Tax-Free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And as always, tell them Fritz sent you.
215-592-9494. Jeff in Wilmington, you're on WIP.
I reside on the side of the tracks of we win, I don't care what happens or how it happens. That's where I live. Well, here's the thing. I totally understand where you're coming from.
Okay.
And I blame this on Doug Peterson. Ever since he started coaching here, we went for it on fourth down a lot. It's kind of been a trend.
Well, it's a trend in the league. It's not just here. Okay. It's a trend in the league.
Right.
Yeah.
It is. And I think one of you guys just said it a little bit ago. Maybe it was Ike, about the kicker having issues this year. So, you know, 15 years ago, fourth and four on the opponent's 40, you were pretty much punting the ball almost all the time. Now it's more often than not going for it. But if we got a kicker that really not that good from 55 to 60, you know, you're probably thinking about, you know, pushing the ball down close to the end zone or to the goal line just for field position with your punter. So I don't know, man. I mean, look, would I like Jalen to throw for 300 yards every game? Sure. But they're winning the way they're winning right now. And it's hard to argue with 15 wins in 18 games.
Well, can I tell you when we'll argue with it?
Yes, when they lose.
If they lose on Sunday. do you know what I'm saying? So I agree with you. What you're saying is fine in the past tense. As long as we win the game, that's fine. This conversation is about what is the best way to try to win the next one. And for me, there's a lot of times when we are where the games are one possession, one score games, when I don't think they need to be. And I even think that Green Bay game, we get four to how about this? The last game we lost against the Commanders, we got three turnovers, we turn it over once. So we got three turnovers, we turned it over once. The Green Bay game, we got four turnovers and we didn't turn it over. And both games in the fourth quarter were one game we lost and one game was a one score game. And you look at the game that we lost, they scored 22 points in the fourth quarter. 22 points in the fourth quarter. So our defense is good, but they're not infallible. So my thing is, I'm trying to increase the chance that we win the game. And I think by taking, just being a little more aggressive than we have swung so far in one season from one side to the other, I just think we've swung too far.
So I'll just say this. Jack's quarterback does not turn the ball over. He hasn't done that since week four. So it's unnoticeable to me when
we're talking about Justin Herbert.
No, I'm talking about. I thought he was a Jalen Hurts guy. I was being sarcastic.
I didn't notice the sarcasm.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
No, I understand. What I'm saying is the wins, they win, and I'm here for it. That's all I can say. I don't need Jalen to throw for 300 yards every time. I just don't. I mean, give the ball to Shady. I don't care. I mean, not Shady, but
Saquon.
Same thing.
You know, you know.
Man.
All right. Okay. All right. I got you. I got you. Mm-hmm. It's not about throwing the ball for 300 yards. It's really not. I don't think it is at all. Mm-hmm. I think it is about decision making overall. And I don't think they're deciding to throw the ball 20 times. They're deciding to try to throw the ball 30 times. We're just not doing it. And that is, again, that is another opportunity to I think.
So then that goes on, from that view, that's on Jalen then.
I think it's on both. So I think that is on Kellen and Nick and on Jalen. And the reason I say that is because they have, and it might work out for them, they have decided, maybe they have told him, and Corey even said this, look, if you have any doubt, eat it. You know, we would rather eat it.
Sure, oh yeah. So, yes.
But that's hard to parse. It's hard to parse in when you have 3 seconds to make a decision or 4 seconds or sometimes seven, whatever. It's very hard to say for anyone's brain to calculate, what are the odds that this is going to work? Mm-hmm. You know, so he has deferred to better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
That's his choice.
The coaches
are telling you don't need to take unnecessary risk with the ball, but they're not going to micromanage him as a quarterback. Like, he has to react instinctually out there on the field.
Sure, yeah. I think he needs to take throws earlier when they're there.
Yeah.
I really do. And what happens a lot of times is it's just, I need to go over this whole thing again, but when we miss the opportunity to throw the ball, that's when we get the... What is he doing back there? Like, why does he still have the ball?
Sure,
because
and that happens a couple times a game. It does.
Yeah.
It does. Like, we can't sit here and watch the same game and somehow see something completely different. When there are times when he's holding on to the ball and you're saying either take off or get rid of the football. Do something with it.
And one thing that made me think about holding the ball was watching we don't really have any idea how good Sam Darnold is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sam Darnold went from a bust to a guy that threw but 37 touchdown passes and looked great this year. But the last 2 weeks, the holding the ball thing, now he doesn't have the ability to escape like Jalen does, but he held the ball too long against Detroit, and then he held the ball too long against the Rams last night. And you hold the ball too long against really good teams, you're not going to have the chance to get out of there. And nobody tries to fumble.
Right.
Like, how many times do we see, by the way, how many times do we see he's been back there 4 or 5 seconds and then he decides to run off to the side and there's a defensive end chasing him from behind and you're like, does he know he's there?
Right.
Does he know he's there?
Right.
The guy's 2 yards behind him. Does he know he's there? You know, does he feel him? So I think the holding the ball thing has could rear its head on Sunday.
Yeah, you know? And that's where and see, but that's where that's on Jalen.
Right.
That's on him. Yep. Like I mean, they call the plays, and the plays are called with the design of getting it out at a certain time to a certain player. And if you get a deer in the headlights look where you freeze and you don't know what to do, then that's more about you than it is the play call. And that's what I think with Sam Darnold is what happens is these good coordinators get a chance to see you, and they saw what he struggled with against Detroit. So I'm sure they implemented that into their game plan last night. And he's standing back there holding the ball. There's no way with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson that – you get sacked 9 freaking times last night.
Right.
Like, he got sacked 9 times because he's holding the ball back there.
The thing that I see with Jalen, honestly, on the holding the ball, is if you missed your shot, just go.
Just run.
But so many times, there's
now, that's the difference between him and Sam Darnold. Darnold can't take off like that.
Yes.
Whereas Jalen, you got the ability to do that. If it's not there, then you got to take off and go.
Go get 6 yards and slide. And
live for another down.
Right.
Now, if it's 3rd and 15 or whatever, I'm just saying, you got to.
Well, we run the ball.
I was going to say, that's where the quarterback has to, that's where his feel for the game has to come in.
Yeah.
Now, I still don't need him playing hero ball. There's a difference.
I agree.
There's a difference. When you got a defense this good, you don't have to play hero ball.
All right. 215-592-9494. Do the Eagles.
Wentz had to play hero ball.
Oh, there we go.
All I'm saying, he's throwing a J.J. Arthur Whiteside and Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah.
We do this part of the show
Jalen
once a
Rager.
Week. Yeah. Once a week.
What'd you want him to do?
There we go. All right. Do the Eagles need to get back to being more aggressive with their decision making? 215-592-9494. All right. Elliot joins us next. Tuesdays with Elliot. Everyone loves it. We will get his opinion on this. We will find out why he changed Jalen's grade from a C- to a B overnight. And also,
that's a worm.
Yes. Are you sure you saw?
Actually, watch the tape.
Watch
39
the
yards halfway through the third quarter is fine.
And I want to ask him this. He has a choice. Actually, I'm going to have a surprise question because I don't want him to be able to think about it before he comes in here. I want his instant answer.
Yes.
So we will surprise Elliot with a question. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.